Hello, my friends. This is Bishop Campbell. Welcome you again to a short meditation on the theme of living the Catholic life. Today, December the 17th, we began a very interesting and important part of our celebration of Advent. The 7 days that precede the festival of Christmas have a particular importance and interest, I think, first, as a kind of pale reflection of Holy Week. There was a time, at least in my lifetime, when Advent was celebrated in a much more somber way. There were days of fasting and abstinence, including Christmas Eve. And it was sometimes called the Little Lent. So these 7 days before the celebration of Christmas had a particular focus and realization. It is, and I think this is known to everyone who prays the Liturgy of the Hours, the beginning of the O antiphons that are sung at Vespers. These O antiphons are really the basis for one of the most popular hymns sung at Advent, O Come Emmanuel. And these O antiphons invoke the various names and titles for Christ and help us to reveal the meaning of his coming. There is O Wisdom, that wisdom that helped create the world, that sustains our lives, and became associated very particularly with Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God. There is O Adonai, O Lord, expressing the fact that Christ was to come as ruler, as well as exemplar of that perfect human striving for God's will and obedience to it. O Root of Jesse, stressing the fact that Christ came as a part of a long line of descendants, those called to be God's own people. And that root of Jesse, as prophesied by Isaiah, would be perhaps a small thing at beginning, but it was from that small root that would grow this great people and, in fact, the Savior of the world. O Key of David, the key representing the power to open and to shut, the power to forgive, the power to sustain. O Rising Dawn, that is the rejoicing in the dawning of new light. O King of the nations and their desire, that real ruler and authority over the nations, and not only over the nations, but also as a fulfillment of their desires for such a ruler. And then finally, O Emmanuel, O God who is with us. And as we celebrate these 7 days, as we hear the O antiphon sung, as we sing that popular hymn of Advent, we realize that it is a deep prayer for the swift coming of the Lord of salvation. In the first instance, realization that these prayers were offered for the coming of the Savior realized in what is now our Christmas celebration. But in our particular case, for the swift coming of the Lord of glory at the end of all time. Now, what is interesting is that the gospel passage that is appointed for the Mass of December the 17th is the genealogy of Jesus that we find in the Gospel of Matthew, tracing the lineage of Jesus back to Abraham, our father in faith. This genealogy is unlike the one that appears in the Gospel of Luke and has certain particularities that are interesting. Matthew tends to be the most Jewish of the Gospels. And in Matthew, there was a great concern to show that in Jesus Christ, there was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets and the longing of the people. Now, this genealogy has always been a great challenge to preachers and to congregations. It is one name after another listed, filled with begots and begats. But yet, as you begin to listen to those names very carefully, you realize how important that genealogy is to the story of Jesus Christ. You hear the names and you realize that included in the lineage of Jesus are some surprises. For the list includes the good, the unexpected, and the not so good. There is mention of the good King Josiah, who was the instigator of an extraordinary reform within the Jewish faith. There is the bad King Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, who after the death of his father proved to be so cruel and uncomprehending a king that he split the kingdom into two. And in fact, he once responded to someone who complained about the taxation by saying, "If you think that taxation was bad, I shall whip you with the tails of scorpions to get that money." Well, he wasn't so popular. But there is a foreigner that appears in the lineage, and that is Ruth, who is King David's great-grandmother. There are some rather quiet mentions of others, a little more embarrassing. There is no mention of the name Bathsheba. She is simply called the wife of Uriah the Hittite. But yet it is from her and David that the line continues. And when you hear that line, you begin to realize that Matthew is saying that Jesus, in a sense, is heir to the wholeness of human history, to all that had gone before. There was a kind of summing up that was to come to an end, to a realization. But there is a surprising disjunction in this genealogy. You come to the end of it with Joseph, and it says, "And Joseph, who is married to Mary, from whom Jesus was born." That actually the line ends with Joseph. And in a stroke of newness in human history, it is Mary who bears Jesus. And so in that genealogy, what Matthew, I think, is telling us is that in the development of the history of salvation, there is both the old and the new. In fact, Matthew was later to record a saying of Jesus that the good and wise scribe takes both from the new and the old. There is both completeness and newness in human history that was marked by the coming of Jesus Christ, by that intervention of God in our human history in the sending of his only son in human flesh. And it's a wonderful way to consider how God works in our human history and works that human history into his own providence, revealing new realities and new possibilities in what is already present. I think this is something that John Henry Newman discovered when he developed his idea of how doctrine develops over time, how we come to understand its fuller meaning, its deeper reality. But it is always already present. It is the tradition of the church, but yet opening up those new realities. And as we await the coming of Christmas, especially at this important time of the 7 days of the O Antiphons, it is good to remember and to ponder upon what God has already done for us, how within our own lives our faith has developed, how new realities have emerged to us. And in pondering upon this, we eagerly await what God has in store for us, so that we can cry out, both with eagerness and with joy, "Come, Lord Jesus, come."